We're looking especially at verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It has been around about a month now since we have been in the five solas of the Reformation, and we now come to the second sola, Solus Christus. That simply means Christ alone. And often today when this sola is preached, it's preached as Jesus Christ alone as Saviour. There is no other Saviour, no other religion but Jesus Christ alone. And that's absolutely true, but that is not the argument of the Reformation sola. Both Protestants and Roman Catholics affirmed that Jesus Christ alone is Saviour. Both Roman Catholics and Protestants affirmed that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. But it was much more nuanced than that. Solus Christus, or Christ alone, speaks about Christ as the mediator and his atonement. Protestants say that Christ alone is mediator. Redemption, advocate, intercessor, Jesus Christ alone. There may be types, there may be shadows, but between God and men, Christ alone. The Roman Catholic Church disagreed. They said, yes, Jesus Christ is the mediator alone in redemption, but when it comes to intercession, when it comes to giving graces and gifts, Jesus shares his mediation with angels, Mary, and certain saints. In the atonement, Protestants say that Jesus Christ's work and death was perfect and sufficient. Nothing else is needed. Faith in Christ alone was all we need to satisfy God's justice and have all forgiveness of sins. The Roman Catholic Church disagreed. They say Jesus Christ's work of atonement cleanses from all eternal sins, but temporal sins still need to be suffered and died for. Roman Catholics teach that all sins before baptism are forgiven in Christ's work of atonement, but sins after baptism, they still need to be suffered for. And that's what they call satis passio, the suffering of punishment. That might come through good works. That might come through certain leather belts to whip themselves and to hurt themselves. They still do that. That might be through what they say, the propitiation of the Mass. It may be receiving the merit of the saints. And there's also indulgences as well, that you may buy satisfaction, so you spend less years in suffering. And then, of course, this points all the way to purgatory, where if you haven't suffered enough in this life for atonement for your sins, you can do it in the next life in a realm called purgatory, where God's wrath purges you of your sin. We see the radical difference between the Protestant and the Roman Catholic. The Protestant, it is Christ alone we simply receive by faith. To the Roman Catholic, Christ does part of the work, and we need to do our part too. That's solus Christus. That's the argument of Christ alone. Not simple, Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, both affirmed, but more nuanced than that, Christ's mediatorship and atonement. And as we go through Solus Christus, we can't cover everything, obviously. That would take dozens of sermons. So we'll keep it to the main things. The first two sermons will be on Christ alone as mediator. Then we'll do four sermons on Christ's perfect and sufficient work of atonement. Then we'll have two sermons of Christ alone as intercessor and by him full access to God. And then we may end with one or two applicatory sermons. But today, Christ alone as mediator. And we come to the classic passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. The context is Paul exhorting the Christians to pray for all kinds of men. He says that God wills all men to be saved, salvation, to come to the knowledge of truth. In verse 6, we've got redemption language with ransom for all. But how can we pray? How can we know God desires salvation? How can we be redeemed? Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What does Paul mean here when he says mediator? What is a mediator? Well, many of us know this. It is a middleman. It is a go-between. It's when there are two parties who are in strong disagreement with each other, a war, a conflict of some sort, and the middleman goes in between them to reconcile them and bring them together. Now, we understand this even in politics. We have, for example, the problems of the Middle East, where you've got Israel and you've got Palestine very much at war with each other, and often there might be UN delegates or whatever. They're mediators seeking to bring two conflicting sides together. And a mediator has three components. One, he must know and identify with both parties. Two, he must understand what's keeping them apart and what needs to be done to bring them together. Contractual obligations so both parties are satisfied. And the third component is with the objective to actually bring peace and reconciliation together. And in the Bible, these things all come together with many words: mediator, intercessor, pleading on the cause of someone else, advocate, messenger, to reveal one's information to the other party and vice versa, and the peacemaker, the one who actually satisfies the obligations and bring people together. But why do we need a mediator? Why do we need someone in the middle, someone to resolve a conflict? Verse 5 hints at it. For there is one God and one mediator. And this mediator is between God and men. Here's the two parties. Party number one, God. Party number two, men or mankind. Why do we need someone in between us? Because there's a war. There's a conflict. There's enmity between God and man. It wasn't always like this. When man was created in the garden, there was no conflict. There was no war. There was fellowship, harmony, togetherness. And we know what happened to destroy this relationship. It was only one party's fault. Not God, but man. We know the story of the serpent tempting Eve. And we know that Adam took of that fruit and he did eat. And there was a contract between God and man. But they were not to eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And the day that man did eat of that, thou shalt surely die, physically and spiritually. Because it was saying, God, you're not enough. God, we can be more. As Satan says, ye shall be like gods. Oh, Adam and Eve sinned. And what happened? Is their closeness, is their relationship? No. Adam hides himself. God speaking, Adam hides himself. It's never happened before. Why did he hide himself? He says, I was naked and I hid myself. He realized his nakedness. He realized his shame. He realized his sin. And suddenly there was enmity and division between God and men. And ever since, God, as a good just, has been offended. Straight away, he kicked them out of the garden, outside of his presence, and he would not let them enter his presence. He took the cherubim and the flaming swords of justice to protect the garden. Because man is a criminal against a good, just God. And God's justice and holiness, he says that all sinners are going to hell. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. God says there is no one righteous, no one. And God reveals he's created a physical place called hell to punish sinners. And man, we don't want God by nature. We don't bow the knee to some Bible. I want to live my life as I please, as I choose. My morals, my ethics, my pleasures, my joys, my purposes, my plans. Romans 8 says, man is at enmity with God. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. And the carnal man will not subject himself to God. And therefore, there is no access to God. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. We have no access to God now between us and him directly. You can pray to God all you want, he will never hear you. You can offer up worship as you desire. He will never accept you. You can be religious as you want. You can make up your own religion if you want. But because of your sins and iniquity, there is separation between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. That's why we need a mediator. Because there's a war. We've sinned against God. We're separated now. He doesn't want to hear it from us. And he's promised to punish us in hell forever. But who is the mediator? Who is the one who's going to come between God and man, identify with both, meet all contractual obligations, and actually bring about reconciliation and peace? Who is going to bring peace between God and men? Well, it says here, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one who will be the mediator. He's the one who's going to come between us and God, satisfy what needs to be satisfied, and bring both parties together. And if we needed any other information, It's very clear. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So simple, I'm sure any of our children could answer the question, how many mediators between God and men? One. And if our children are able to read and read this passage, you could say, where is this? There. How do you know? It says one. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And if we were discussing with Roman Catholic friends and family, we would think case closed. Very easy, very simple. Bible, how many mediators between God and men? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But they would say, no. You're not reading it properly. You're wrong. Well, how are we wrong? This is how the Roman Catholic would argue. First of all, with the word one. They would say in the Greek there are two words for one. The first word, H-E-I-S, heis. And a second word, mono. Like a monologue is when your discussion, a dialogue is two ways, monologue is one. And they say heis is also a cardinal number. It's like one, two, three, four. And this word heis can mean first and second and third, but first. And it doesn't use the word mono, which means singular and exclusive. That's what they claim. And therefore, it's only saying that Jesus Christ is the first, the chief mediator. But by no means does it say it rules out other mediators. And then what they do is they divide the work of mediation. The work of redemption, Christ alone is a mediator. No one else. But when it comes to being the advocate, the intercessor, meriting graces and gifts, that's the work of the intercessor, where others can be the mediator. Mary, angels, other saints. And this is exactly what they believe. For example, in Trent, it says, the saints who reign together with Christ offer up their own prayers to God for men. It is good and useful, supplantly, to invoke them and to have recourse to their prayers, aid and help, for obtaining benefits from God. Then the Catholic Catechism, 956, the intercession of the saints being more closely united to Christ, those who dwell in heaven fix the whole church more firmly in holiness. They do not cease to intercede with the Father for us as they proffer the merits which they acquired on earth through the one mediator between God and men, Christ Jesus. So they say all the merit, all the righteousness, all the good works of the saint are able to merit favour, gifts and graces from the Father to you. How would we respond? If they claim this, is it true? Well, it's not true at all. In fact, it's very manipulative. It is true that the word for one, there are two words, heis and mono, that's absolutely true. It is also true in verse 5, one mediator is heis. Absolutely true. But here's where they're false. It doesn't always mean first or second. It depends on the context. You see, the Greek language is like other languages, Spanish and Latin. Words are more fluid than sometimes the woodenness of an English word. We sometimes have more words, but other languages have more meanings in their words. And that one word, its definition is determined by its context. Same with the Greek. And what's the context here? For there is one God and one mediator. The Greek word one For God is the same word for one mediator. Heis God, heis mediator. Paul's saying there's only one and exclusively one God. And he is God over all. Doesn't matter the nation, doesn't matter the color of your skin, doesn't matter, there is only one God, heis God. And to get to that God, access to that God by prayer or redemption, there is also heis mediator, one mediator. If the mediator is first among many, therefore God is first among many. Absolutely not. There are not many gods. There's not the supreme God and then subservient gods. There's only one God. And the same Greek word for one is in both of God and mediator. In fact, when the Bible shows exclusive loyalty to God, it uses the word heis. For example, the greatest example of monotheism in the Bible, the Shema. The Shema, which means to hear, was used in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, Israel, and even Jews to this day, every single day repeat that as a prayer. And that one Lord in the Greek Septuagint is not mono, heis Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, Paul is teaching monotheism against the false devils and gods of Corinth. And this is what he says. But to us, there is but one God, it's heis God. The Father of whom of all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, heis again. Or you could go to Ephesians chapter 4, that great unity passage, the unity of the Spirit. There is one God, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit. All the ones are in Greek, heis, not mono. All this goes to show that when Paul uses the word one here, mediator, he is saying exclusive, sole, and only. There is one God, one. And there is one mediator between God and men, one. Not two, not three, not multiple, but one mediator between God and men. Also, we cannot divide the work of mediation. You can't do it. Every time the Bible speaks redemptively, intercessory, of access to God, graces and gifts, it is redemption, atonement, and intercession. Just look at this passage. What's the context? Verse 1 and 2, prayer. Verse 4 and 6, redemption, salvation. Christ alone is the mediator to God in prayer and redemption. Or take other passages. For example, Romans chapter 8. It is Christ who died, atonement, redemption, and who what? Intercedes on our behalf. Oh, let's take another way. They say, well, Mary's an advocate. Not maybe that. An advocate. Okay. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Christ Jesus is our propitiation. Redemption, atonement, and the advocate before the Father. Hebrews chapter 7. Blood of bulls and goats and these redemptive actions, Christ Jesus fulfills that. And then verse 25, he ever lives to what? Make intercession for us. You cannot cut and divide the work of mediation. We'll look at this further and more in detail in about 6 weeks' time or so. But the mediator of redemption and intercession is Jesus Christ exclusively. But what about praying for one another? You know, if I'm sick and I say, please, could you pray for me? I'm sure you would. Or something's going wrong in my life. Could you pray for me? Well, praying for someone doesn't mean we merit anything. All it means on your behalf of mine, you pray to God through the one mediator. And your prayer and my prayer, we don't have different merits. The false word of faith movement that passes somehow more meritorious prayers than others, absolute nonsense. We can intercede for one another on that level, absolutely. And I'm thankful we are a congregation to do. Very heartened in our midweek prayer meeting with the offer of prayer to God for one another. And I'm sure, behind closed doors, on your own, you're doing it as well. But you're not the mediator, and I'm not. Christ Jesus is. Or, what about Moses? Is he not a mediator? Well, he was a messenger. He was certainly a type. But he didn't merit or satisfy the justice of God. Nor did bulls or goats or priests. Nor did the prophets or the kings of old satisfy God. They were but types and pictures for what? The true mediator, Christ Jesus. And to conclude here, Jesus Christ alone is mediator between God and men. But why? Why is Jesus Christ alone? Why could it not be the church? Why could it not be the Pope? Why could it not be Mary or the saints? Or why could not the angels be our mediator? Why? Well, it is because we're a mediator of the covenant of grace. Hebrews 8:6, the covenant is important here. It speaks about Christ being the mediator of a better covenant. Hebrews 9:15, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. And in Hebrews 12:24, Jesus the mediator of the New Covenant. Christ is the mediator in what we call the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace is God's promise and plan to save the opposing party. The one who he's offended at, the one who's promised to hell, the one who's promised to put his wrath upon, that he himself would save. And he would do this by the covenant of grace. Covenant because it's a solemn promise. The gracious part because we don't contribute to it. Sure, we have to receive it by faith, but accomplishing it, God himself will do it. Isn't that amazing? God himself offended with the other party, and he says, I will do all that's required. And in this covenant of grace, two main things need to happen. One, they need someone to obey the law perfectly because the sinners have broken every law. God's holy and just and cannot accept the presence of anyone except they're holy and just. God also needs someone to suffer as punishment for sin because he cannot just wink and let sin go. If someone was to rob your home, physically assault your family member, and you go before the court, and the judge says, I am a good and loving judge. The evidence is clear of the crime. I'm just going to let you go. You would say there is injustice. And with God, he must be satisfied. But also, he needs someone who has so much value that they can atone for the sins of millions. Because the number of believers, the Bible says, are not just one or two, but the stars of the sky and the sand which is on the seashore. Just take myself for an example. 31 years of age. From the very time I was conceived in my mother's womb, sin. Thought, word, and deed. The debt was high and rises every day. And even as a Christian, I sin every day. It still rises and rises every day. Then add another 30-odd people here. Add another few thousand Christians in Grand Rapids, or more than that, whatever it is. And then the millions and the millions and millions and millions of the people of God from every age before Christ and after Christ. It's a lot of sins. It's a very high debt. We need someone with enough value. If the debt goes on to them, it's so much value, everyone can be saved. Who can that be? Well, it needs to be God. It needs someone of the divine nature, because God alone is valuable enough. Infinite, eternal, boundless sins on God. Because God alone can take them. Because He is more valuable. This is why we're going to spend eternity in hell, because, as if we're outside of Christ, because we're sinning against an infinite God. We have this law in this country, in all Western countries, and probably others as well. We've had this illustration before. That if you physically assault someone without causing bodily harm, you can spend up to 93 days in jail. You have the same crime against a police officer, 4 years in jail. Same crime, different person, the rise of the punishment. And with the same crime against the president, up to 10 years in prison. How can you have the same crime, assault without bodily harm, to a man on the street, a police officer, and the president, and it's 93 days, 4 years, and 10 years? Why? Because the value of the person rises. You can't go about assaulting police officers. Higher punishment to deter. You can't go just assault presidents and governors and kings. You need to be deterred. So when we sin and offend God, we're not offending a man on the streets. We're not offending a police officer. We're not offending a president or a king. We're offending the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is infinite and all-powerful and all-good and all-eternal. And therefore, the only due payment is eternity in hell. Therefore, we need someone who's able to take that infinite wrath. We'll speak much more in detail how Christ can suffer for a few hours for the eternity of hell of sinners when we get to the atonement. But that's why we're going to be in hell forever. And God alone is able, because He is the most valuable. We also need a man. It's by a man we need obedience. It's a man we need to actually keep the law. And we also need a man to suffer. That's why we need a substitute. Animals can't do it. They don't even have souls. We've sinned against God, body and soul. Animals can't do it. God Himself cannot do it. God, in His essence, is too glorious to suffer. Angels, they don't have physical bodies. We need someone like this. And Christ Jesus alone is that one. Jesus Christ alone is able to be the mediator between God and man. Because Christ is God and man. This is His peculiar and distinct glory. Jesus Christ is God. He is equal with God. He identifies with God, but he's also man. He is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Therefore, he can identify with man. The contractual obligations to obey the law perfectly and to suffer. Christ Jesus can do that. He's a man that prayed to God. He's a man who kept the Sabbath. He's a man who honored his parents. He's a man who was content and not covetous. He was a man who was satisfied in himself and didn't murder or commit adultery. And he's a man who can suffer, body and soul. His soul was exceeding sorrowful unto death. He was physically beaten. And God the Father could pour his wrath into the soul of Christ because he is truly man. And Jesus Christ, because he is God and man, has the intrinsic value, infinite, eternal, boundless, to take that wrath of God for the sand which is on the seashore, the number of the stars in the sky elects on the cross of Calvary. But yet Roman Catholics get round this. How do they get round this? Because they say Jesus Christ did not mediate in his divine nature. Only the human nature. They do that so that other humans can be mediators. If you in your mind know, which this is true, the mediator must mediate between his divine nature and human nature, you can't have a man, you can't have Mary. But if Jesus Christ mediates only through his human nature and their logic, you are able, therefore, to have creatures as mediators. They accept Jesus Christ as God and man, just in case anyone, they affirm totally that Jesus Christ is God and man, but they say he does not mediate through the divine nature. But when you look at the Bible, he does. Because when you look at the works of redemption, mediation, that's the divine nature as well. For example, the righteousness we need to be justified. Jesus Christ obeyed the law. And yet in Romans, it speaks of the righteousness of God we're saved. How can that be? Because he is God. The death, who died at the cross of Calvary? Human flesh, yes, but God also. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, who did they crucify? The Lord of glory. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, who purchased the church redemption with his own blood? God. Who intercedes before the Father so we can be forgiven our sins? The one who is not like the priests who die, but he who ever lives. An attribute of God. Eternal. He makes intercession for us. So Christ Jesus does mediate in his human nature and in his divine nature. Which means Christ alone is able to be the mediator between God and men. No angel can be. An angel doesn't have the value. The angel doesn't have the physical body. The angel is not a man. Mary cannot. We love the biblical Mary. We honor the biblical Mary. But the pagan goddess of Rome, we do not. Mary was a sinner. That's why she magnified not God her creator, but God her savior. And God couldn't save any one of us with a perfect man anyway. They don't have the value to suffer the wrath of God, and they don't have the value to atone for the sins of all the elect. Christ alone is mediator. And when Paul brings out verse 5, he's doing it for the comfort of the saints. Prayer, salvation, ransom, Christ is the one in between. Do you want access to God? Do you want to speak to God? Would you like to receive the wonderful promises and gifts and graces of God? Paul is saying you can through the mediator, Jesus Christ. Are you a sinner? Do you recognize that you're a sinner and you are going to hell? Do you desire the forgiveness of all your sins? God wills that all men be saved. I can't go into this. I believe it's all kinds of men. But nevertheless, God's desire is for men to be saved. If you go to God through Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Paul speaking to the Philippian jailer, a sinner going to hell. He trembles. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you need salvation, if you need forgiveness, put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. You can't go to God through Allah, Muhammad, Buddha. You can't go to God through Mary, the saints, or angels. You can only go to God through Jesus Christ. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, says Christ. And to my dear brothers and sisters who do put their faith in Christ, know without a shadow of a doubt, you don't need to have your faith in the church. You don't need to have your faith in angels. You don't have to have your faith in a pope. You don't have to have your faith in saints or Mary. But Jesus Christ is the mediator. He, the one alone, and is able to stand between God's wrath and you and reconcile you together in peace. And second application, for your own prayer life. Sometimes Christians, we think like our prayers in vain. Sometimes our flesh gets the better of us. Sometimes Satan's temptations get the better of us. I've prayed and I've prayed and I pray. And is he really listening? Does he really care? Is he really answering my prayers? I can't see it. And we become discouraged and want to pray less. We all get like that. But Paul says, no, you have full access to God. You can pray. You can supplicate. You can intercede. You can give thanks for all men, kings, authority, friends, family, brothers, sisters, strangers, work colleagues. And here's your confidence. There is one God, and there is one media between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's why we pray in Christ's name. Not as a tag on to be religious, not because we heard our parents end in prayer, in Jesus' name, amen, but because he is the mediator, and when we pray through him, he delights to hear our prayers. Christ is the mediator. Have full confidence that he is. Know without a shadow of a doubt he is. And always, always, always go to God through Christ. And we'll look at this more and why in the coming weeks. Amen. And may the Lord bless Christ as mediator to our souls. Let's pray.